Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us today Howard Phillips, who is the chairman of the Conservative Caucus. He has been a presidential candidate on several occasions from the American Constitution Party. And Howard, thank you so much for being with us today.
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure.
Well, let's get into a little bit of what's going on today. You know, many people are very, very concerned. In the name of fighting terrorism, they're talking about setting up a surveillance society, have Americans informing on Americans, giving us a national ID card, building relocation camps, setting up a system of video surveillance. What's really going on in our society? Is terrorism the threat it's made out to be, we hear? Or is this really something we should be concerned about? Should we give up our freedom to be safe from the terrorists, or are we going to lose our freedom totally?
Well, terrorism is certainly a threat, but we should not counter that threat by sacrificing our heritage of liberty as incorporated in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And the TIPS program, to which you alluded, is one in which Americans are called upon to report on their neighbors. I remember when I was in the fourth grade having a teacher who told us that that was the kind of thing going on in the then Soviet Union, which distinguished them from us and was something to be abjured. And it's really terrible that if indeed the Soviet Union is history, that we're now emulating its practices. I was glad to see Congressman Dick Armey attempt to strike the TIPS program, which is the Neighbor Spying on Neighbor program, from the Homeland Security Reorganization Bill in the House. But even as he was successful in eliminating that from the House version of the bill, the Justice Department indicated that it would continue to pursue that policy and that program. So all of these things are very dangerous, and the price of liberty is indeed eternal vigilance, and we should insist that the guarantees set forth in the U.S. Constitution are obeyed by our elected officials.
Well, of course, we find that many of our elected officials don't seem to want to obey the laws. They seem to be have done everything through the years to stop efforts to control illegal immigration, rewarded illegal immigration with the opportunity to stay here and become citizens. They seem to be very concerned about creating a national ID card. I would think that freedom is very much on the defensive today, because there seem to be people in Washington, D.C. who have a different view. They believe that only an all-powerful government can make a better society.
Stan, the disregard for the Constitution is so blatant, it's appalling. Recently, an amendment first proposed in the 19th century, or actually the 18th century, by James Madison, secured enough ratifying votes by the states to be added to the Constitution. It is the 27th Amendment, and it reads, quote, "No law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened." Despite that clear, plain language, just last week, the Congress voted for the fifth year in a row to raise its pay, declaring it to be a cost of living allowance only. I mean, it's just perfectly outrageous that they would so blatantly disregard this. And no one raised the constitutional argument against that decision. I have a young friend in New Hampshire who's worked closely with the Constitution Party, and he has an idea which I've passed on to Congressman Ron Paul And the idea is that before members of Congress, House and Senate, before presidents and others are permitted to take an oath of allegiance to the Constitution of the United States, they'd be obliged to write out the text of the Constitution in longhand. And who knows, some of them may discover things for the first time, and it might even influence their conduct after they take the oath of office.
I think they're learning something from Kenneth Lay. They're certainly looking after themselves first. And, of course, the average individual out here isn't getting or can't vote themselves from their employers a salary hike, but our, of course, elected representatives do it without even blushing. Well, now, what can the average individual do? I mean, we seem as if whether we elect the Republicans or whether we elect the Democrats, we always get ever bigger government. I mean, the Republicans promised, you know, to have a balanced budget and, you know, cut taxes. Well, they did seem to cut taxes. The only trouble is the death tax, which they cut so dramatically, comes back in full fury. And so if I want to pass on my estate, I've got to commit suicide by the end of this decade, or the death tax will be back in place. And now we find the Republicans are spending far more than the Democrats ever even dreamed of. They could never have gotten away with the massive spending that the Republicans are. How did this come about?
Stan, I think we need to learn to give our loyalty not to any personality or to any political party, but rather to core biblical and constitutional principles and the policies which arise in connection with them. We may not be strong enough to elect our own people to office in very many cases, but what we can do is withhold support from those who betray us. For example, this past week, I've been working with Lon Mabon of Oregon, the chairman of the Oregon Citizens Alliance, who is the Constitution Party nominee for the U.S. Senate against incumbent Republican Gordon Smith, who's got a terrible New World Order voting record. Just yesterday he voted for CEDAW, C-E-D-A-W, which you've discussed in your program. It's a U.N. treaty which would, in effect, expand ERA throughout the entire world. And there were two Republicans who voted with Joe Biden and the Democrats to report CEDAW to the floor of the U.S. Senate. One was Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island. The other was Gordon Smith of Oregon. I believe if enough people vote for Lon Mabon, who, unlike Smith, is 100% pro-life, 100% anti-New World Order, 100% pro-Constitution, that it will cost Smith his seat in the Senate, and it might even cost the Republicans control of the Senate. Now, people say, that's not a good idea, but if we have time, I'll try to explain that it's a terrific idea.
All right, fine. We're going to have to take a quick break here. This is the time, of course, what I want to tell our listeners. We've got a great new special. If you'd like to know about the plans for the terrorist attacks on America, you need to get the Homeland Security special. It really consists of government reports, the Phase 1, 2, and 3 reports of the National Commission on Security in the 21st Century, headed by Gary Hart and Warren Rudman. And, of course, they started holding their meetings back in 1998, and they would tell you in 1999 terrorism was going to occur, we were going to have terrorist attacks, and then they had the audacity to state, history doesn't happen, it's created. And, boy, have they created it. And then, of course, with the Homeland Security Special, you get the two syllabuses, which basically Phase 1, Phase 2, Phase 3 reports. And then, of course, you get our four tapes out on the Office of Homeland Security and my video, The War in Arabia. We think it's an excellent value, and it's ordinarily about $90, $95 worth of material, and you're going to get it for $69.95, and we pay the postage. If you'd like to get any five of our videos that I have produced myself, they're each $19.95 each, but you get five of them together for $69.95, and you'll get an education on what's really going on that you'll never get even in the university. So any five of the videos we've produced, $69.95. And then, of course, if you'd like to get more information on who really runs America, the Secret Government Special, all available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. another of our fascinating 4-tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan here, and our guest today is Howard Phillips of the American Constitution Party, and of course the chairman of the Conservative Caucus. Howard, just so that we don't forget, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and how they can get in touch with the American Constitution Party?
Let me first of all make a small correction. It's Constitution Party, and it'll be easier to find it on the web at www.constitutionparty.org. The Conservative Caucus website is www.conservativeusa.org. The phone number for the Constitution Party is 1-800, the digit 2, VETO-IRS. That's 1-800-2-VETO-IRS. And people who want to contact me can do so by fax at 703-281-4108. And I greatly appreciate the chance to give out that information, as well as our mailing address, which is 450 Maple Avenue East, EAST, Vienna, Virginia, 22180. And if someone writes to us or contacts us otherwise and mentions Dr. Stan, we'll send them a free copy of my twice-monthly newsletter, the Howard Phillips Issues and Strategy Bulletin.
That is an excellent newsletter. I always look forward to getting that.
Thank you, Stan.
Well, now, of course, you were saying, well, but, you know, the Republicans are going to lose control of the Senate, or they're going to lose control of the House of Representatives, and that'll let the wicked Democrats get in there. But, if we look really back, we find that many times the Republicans have given us the biggest deficits America has ever seen. Now, everybody knows, at least they think they know, that Ronald Reagan was a conservative. He was in favor of a balanced budget and doing away with deficits. And yet we had the biggest deficits in our nation's history when Ronald Reagan was in the White House, going from $1 trillion deficit to $2.7 trillion deficit in 8 years. But you see, nobody ever mentions these things. And really, of course, our perception has very little to do with what really happens. Would you agree with that or disagree?
Well, Stan, as the year 2000 presidential nominee of the Constitution Party, I'm frequently approached by people who say, well, I agree with you, Howard, but it's a good thing that we got George Bush instead of Al Gore. So that prompted me to prepare an article on which I'm now working called 100 Reasons Why We're Not Better Off with Bush. And what I'm doing is pointing out all of the ways in which conservative Republicans become liberal Democrats whenever they have a Republican president who tells them to vote for Ted Kennedy's education bill or NATO expansion or Fast Track or NAFTA or the World Trade Organization or a brand new overloaded bureaucracy called the Homeland Security Bureaucracy or Department of Homeland Security. I mean, I could give you all kinds of examples. The National Endowment for the Arts didn't have any increases under Bill Clinton. It's getting its first increase under George Bush. More money for foreign aid than ever before. More money for the UN. We're now looking at a situation where, under pressure from the White House, every member of the U.S. Senate who was present, 99 of them, when they were called upon to pay taxes to the UN, did so. Now, most of them really didn't know they were paying taxes. They thought they were paying a debt. But the debt was actually an assessment or a tax levied on the United States of America by the socialist majority in the United Nations General Assembly, which imposed a graduated income tax in the United States based on our supposed wealth, and then said, you owe it to us, and if you don't pay it to us, we're going to strip you of certain privileges. Well, frankly, I wish we would immediately get out of the United Nations, but those folks in the U.S. Senate, Republican and Democrat, Helms and Smith, as well as Paul Wellstone and Barbara Boxer, all voted to assume that the U.N. General Assembly did have authority to tax the American people, despite the fact that the very first sentence in the Constitution after the preamble says, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States. Congress cannot assign taxing power or policy-setting authority to the U.N., the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve, the judiciary, presidential executive orders, the civil service, federally funded nonprofits, regulatory agencies, or whatever, because the language is clear. The powers granted in the text of the Constitution, and the Federal Republic has no other powers, are vested in Congress, and Congress cannot reassign a vested power.
Well, you know, the most interesting thing is what George Bush is doing to placate the conservatives. For instance, he's going to withhold some $30 or $35 billion from the United Nations Population Control Fund, but they don't mention they give about $400 million, so he's going to hold back some $30 million, and then he's going to give that to another United Nations agency, because after all, we've got the money, we couldn't just give it back.
Well, what he's
going
to do is give it to the Agency for International Development, and it'll be used for many of the same purposes to which it would have been assigned had it gone directly to the UN Population Fund.
But of course, the people don't know that. They think, boy, this is really great. He's really anti-abortion. Aren't we good to have an anti-abortion president?
Well, you know, let me talk about abortion for a minute. You know, Roe v. Wade was handed down in 1973, and Harry Blackmun, a Republican who wrote the opinion, and by the way, five of the seven justices who promulgated that opinion were Republican justices. But when he wrote that opinion, Blackmun said, of course, if we acknowledged the personhood of the unborn child, then abortion would be comprehensively unconstitutional. And that's because both the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment say that no person may be deprived of life without due process of law. But we've not had a president willing to assert the legal personhood of the unborn. And in fact, despite the fact that Republicans have harvested pro-life votes ever since 73, Ford and Reagan and Bush, not one abortion has been stopped. And the lack of seriousness on the part of the Republicans was manifested when Clinton named Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the Supreme Court. There was never a more pro-abortion lawyer, jurist, whatever. She said the Supreme Court should be the supreme legislature. Her pro-abortion views were beyond contradiction. Yet her campaign for the court was managed by the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Orrin Hatch, and out of a Republican Senate in which there were 40 or 50 Republican senators, only three voted against her confirmation.
Well, after all, don't they say, you know, after all, the president should have a right to appoint whoever he wants to the court, unless, of course, it's, somebody who really believes in the Constitution is pro-life. And then, of course, we can't allow that. And then the Republicans say, well, the Democrats don't have to abide by the same rules the Republicans do.
Now, let me give credit to the three senators who did vote against Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They were Jesse Helms, Don Nichols, and Bob Smith. But every other Republican senator forfeited his claim to be pro-life, just as they did when they voted for Sandra Day O'Connor, who had a consistent pro-abortion record as a leader of Planned Parenthood in Arizona, as a member of the Arizona Senate, and when they voted for David Souter, who not only changed the policies of two hospitals of which he was a trustee from zero abortion to convenience abortion, he even counseled young people who were under his authority, so-called, as a proctor at Harvard College, to have an abortion committed, even at a time when abortion was illegal in Massachusetts. I asked one Republican senator that during the Judiciary Committee interrogation of Souter, he should ask him whether he thought it appropriate to have on the Supreme Court someone who had advocated violating the law, but the senator was unwilling to follow that line of inquiry.
Weren't you the only person to testify against Souter in the hearing?
I was the only person who testified against him on the basis of his having a comprehensive pro-abortion record and on the basis of his legal positivism. Souter, in his Harvard thesis and ever after, aligned himself with people like Oliver Wendell Holmes and William J. Brennan as legal positivists who denied higher authority. He rejected the idea that there was any law higher than man's reason. And, of course, that repudiates the premise of the Declaration of Independence that our rights are a gift from God, that our rights to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, property are granted by God Almighty. He rejected that from the outset, and even apart from his specific actions in the area of abortion, that it should have been sufficient to disqualify him from membership on the court.
And, of course, what most people don't understand is that both David Souter and Sandra Day O'Connor were nominated by a Republican president and passed with the full support of the Republicans, the Senate.
No Republican voted against either one of them.
And, of course, the great, great tragedy is that seven of our current Supreme Court justices were put there by Republican presidents. So is there really much of a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats? Well, only in the mind of the uninformed people here in America. We're going to be back here in just a moment, and we'll open the lines and let you talk to Howard Phillips of the Constitution Party. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention that we do sell Miracle 2 soap products just because we think it's good soap, and some of our listeners really do feel that it's helped them in many, many ways. Some of the people feel that the products do help as far as their heartburn. Now, the FDA has not said that it does, and we're certainly not suggesting it does. All we can do is tell you what our listeners tell us as far as helping with rashes. We will tell you it's excellent soap. There are five products: a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a lotion, and certainly a gel, and they're available. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I will tell you, most of our sales are repeat sales from people who have gotten them. Again, there are Miracle 2 soap products. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we ask people, of course, to give serious consideration to changing over to Promise Vision for their long-distance carrier. And certainly we just got a bill from AT&T, and I put in a call using my AT&T charge card from a hotel, $5.86 for the first minute, and, of course, a comparable for after that. You can, of course, with Promise Vision, you can get a card, and, of course, the ordinarily calls are very, very economical, but even if you're using a call-in card, it's only 25 cents a minute from a hotel, but call them at 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. You'll talk to a real-life human being, and when you join Promise Vision, why 25% of your long-distance fees come back to Radio Liberty to help us do what we do. So think very seriously about joining Promise Vision. We've been very happy. 866-448-5631. It's one means that you can help us do what we do 5 hours a day as we reach out across America, bringing you the news behind the news. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is Howard Phillips of the Constitution Party. He's the chairman of the Conservative Caucus. If you're out there across America, you'd like to talk to Howard, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And let's get Roger. Roger from Allentown, did you have a question?
Yes, thanks. I think I've arrived. Howard, you just please make this more frequent, first off, both of you. And Howard, you just reinforced my belief that you blow away all the other potential third-party candidates. If I could ask what your political intentions are for the future, what's the possibility, now that Pat Buchanan is not himself running, of getting him to pull along behind any third-party offerings? God bless you all.
Thanks very much. Okay,
Thank you very much. Well, as to my own intentions, my intention is to pay my bills, and I still have a lot of bills left over from the year 2000 campaign, and until those bills are paid, I really don't have a political future. With respect to the Constitution Party and other third parties, I'm happy to report that in the state of California, our affiliate, the American Independent Party, has won the conversion of Azola Foster, who was Pat Buchanan's running mate on the Reform ticket in the year 2000. And Reed Huestis, the chairman of the Reform Party in California, joined Azola along with others in jumping ship to our Constitution Party affiliate. We appreciate that very much. We have tried over the years to get Pat Buchanan to join with us. I've known Pat really since the Nixon years. And I've been working on him since 1988, frankly, without any success. And I'm not optimistic that he will decide to join with us. I congratulate him on his success as an author, as a columnist, and as a TV host. And I wish he would join us, but I frankly don't expect that to happen.
All right, let's go to, actually, we've got Spencer calling from Ohio. Spencer, do you have a question or comment?
God bless you, Dr. Stan. My question for Mr. Phillips concerns the abortion issue.
Yes, sir.
If a woman consents and submits to an abortion, do you believe the act or crime of the abortion should be regarded as both a tort and a felony?
I think that's a matter for state law, but clearly a state has a right to assess criminal penalties on both the abortionist and the woman who voluntarily determines to kill her child.
All right, anything else, Spencer?
I was going to ask him, does he believe the United Nations is a foreign power as defined in the Constitution?
Well, yes, I do. And I also believe that the UN Charter, which I was just looking at today, is the antithesis of the U.S. Constitution. Of course, the UN Charter was drafted by a Soviet spy, Alger Hiss, whereas our Constitution was drafted by people of an entirely different character. And the Constitution of the U.S. and the Declaration which preceded it are rooted in an acknowledgement that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, whereas the U.N. Charter is an entirely humanist doctrine. It is a competing power, and our very membership in the U.N. is unconstitutional. Were I president, on my first day, I would withdraw the United States from the UN.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much, Spencer.
Well, he has my vote.
Okay.
Thanks, Spencer.
All right, let's go to Dave calling in from Illinois. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, John. I got a question for Mr. Phillips.
Yes, sir.
You know, as we all know, under both parties, the deficit's been running into the stratosphere, and it's still doing so under Bush, JW. My question to you is, the laws of physics tell me now, when any government spends money, more money they take in, eventually something's got to give. Well, my question to you is, down the road, you know, it may not happen for 20, 30 years, but eventually down the road, what is this deficit actually going to do to the average American?
Well, let's first of all look at what's happening to the dollar. The dollar is sinking. The Federal Reserve issues notes, which they call dollars, but by the Coinage Act of 1792, they are not dollars. They are pieces of paper, which a friend of mine, Dr. Ed Vieira, calls IOU nothings. A dollar, as defined in 1792, and the law is still on the books today, is 371 1/4 grains of silver, which happens to be the weight of the Spanish milled dollar called pieces of eight, which was the common currency at the time the Constitution was adopted. Because the dollar is today the reserve currency of the world, the Fed has been able to print so-called dollars with impunity. And in a great many countries, people would rather possess dollars than their local currency. So no matter how many dollars the Fed prints, they'll stuff them in their mattresses or under their pillows, and we do not have the inflationary effect at home. But when the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency, if and when it's replaced by the euro, by the yen, by gold, silver, whatever it may be, at that point, all of those Federal Reserve notes that are held overseas are going to come back to haunt us, and we're going to have the most extraordinary hyperinflations in the history of the world. And at that point, most Americans will be impoverished. Their savings will be reduced even more than is now the case. Their earnings will be reduced even more. And that is the danger of not following the Constitution when it comes to money, because from the period of 1787 to 1913, 126 years before the creation of the Fed, inflation in the United States cumulatively was less than 17%. But since the Fed was created, we've had inflation well above 1,000%. And what that really means is that even more than Congress, the Fed has been taxing us, diminishing the value of our savings and our earnings. And a president who is serious about rescuing this country from economic disaster will immediately go back to the constitutional way of issuing currency and holding the government accountable. Let me add, if you'll permit me, Stan, if we have time, to say that the same year the Fed was created, in 1913, the 16th Amendment was added to the Constitution. The 17th Amendment was added to the Constitution, changing the role of the states in the federal system, increasing the power of big money and big media by having senators elected by the people, supposedly, instead of having them elected by members of the legislature. But the other very significant thing that happened in 1913 was the change in policy from one in which we relied on tariffs as the principal source of revenue for the U.S. government. Take those things in combination and you see what happened. When you had the tariff as the principal source of revenue, there was an upper limit to what the government could receive and to what it could spend. But with the addition, creation of the Fed and the addition of the 16th Amendment, that break on federal spending was eliminated, and the limits of the Constitution on what activities the federal government could subsidize began to be comprehensively ignored. So my view is we need to detach the 16th Amendment, abolish the IRS, eliminate the income tax, close down the Fed, and go back to the original constitutional design of supporting the legitimate constitutional objects of the federal government by a revenue tariff.
And maybe if the government didn't have so much money, we would not have American troops stationed in 140 nations throughout the world.
Well, you're absolutely right, Stan. It's not a coincidence that World War I came right after, and our involvement in World War I came right after these changes in the American political system.
Amen to that. Okay, fine. Thanks
for a question.
Oh, sure, you can.
Yeah, a little further. What if, you know, Mr. Howard said if the dollar stops being world currency, what if that never happens? What if that never happens?
Even if what if the dollar continues to be accepted everywhere?
Pardon me?
You're saying Your question is, what happens if the dollar continues to be the reserve currency?
Right. Well, even if that happens, just common sense and pure logic tells me that even if that doesn't change, even if the dollar remains the world's currency, the laws of life just tell me that a government just cannot keep running deficits till hell freezes over and without consequence.
Well, there's no country in the world that's ever spent itself into prosperity, and we're not going to either.
Well, they pay for the deficit, Spencer, by printing more Federal Reserve notes.
That's inflationary, right?
Yeah, which is really a tax.
I guess the bottom line is, gentlemen,
it's a hidden tax. What it means is that the budget is balanced, even though it doesn't appear to be, by diminishing the value of your savings and earnings. In other words, the chicken doesn't come home to roost because they feed the chicken with a mass printing of Federal Reserve notes.
Okay, fine. Look, thanks very much. And let's go to Ron calling in here from Paso Robles. And I think he's the chairman of the local American Independent Party there, aren't you, Ron?
Hi there, Dr. Stan. You got that right.
Okay, fine.
And I just wanted to say hello to Howard Phillips.
Ron, good to talk to you. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. I'm believing every word
you said. I understand you've got a great American Independent Party convention coming up this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I called you about. My wife, Shirley, she said she wrote it down. Make sure you mention this.
Well, and where is that going to be held?
In Fresno at the Holiday Inn.
All right, fine. That's Fresno and the Holiday Inn. And is this Friday and Saturday, is it going to be?
Yes, it's the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
On August 2nd, you're adopting your platform. And,
yes, we're adopting the platform, and an interesting thing happened yesterday. The League of Women Voters were interviewing all the third parties and major parties, too, and I was interviewed yesterday, and I...
Yeah, I bet you didn't get their endorsement.
Well, in my opinion, it's a liberal organization.
Well, there's some people who call it the League of Women Vultures.
Yeah, right, I always call it the Pipers, but, you know, whether it's a U or an I, it doesn't really matter. Okay, thanks so much for calling, Ron.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, we're going to be back in just a moment here. We've got Ken calling from Alabama, and if you're out there across America, you'd like to give us a call, the number 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is Howard Phillips, and of course he is the past presidential candidate for the Constitution Party, chairman of the Conservative Caucus, and we'll be back here in just a minute with Howard, and we'll be glad to take your calls. But this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and quite frankly, we need your help to do what we do 5 hours a day as we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Now, people help us by joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month, whatever you can afford, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our newsletter, which will give you a different slant on what's really going on behind the scenes, the last newsletter, and this one, a deal with vaccination. And you know, they're passing laws across America to force you to be vaccinated. Well, what should you do? Well, I think you need to understand the history of vaccination. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter and you haven't had one before, we'll be happy to send you one. And, of course, you do that by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, the other thing is you can go up to the Internet site at radioliberty.com and pull down our newsletters. You can also go there and get our programs 5 hours a day. 3 hours a day on Radio Liberty, which is this network, 1 hour a day, the American Freedom Network, 1 hour a day on the Genesis Network. And then, of course, we do 2 programs on Saturday. Both are available on the Internet. And we encourage you to tell others about our Internet programs. Tell them about our radio programs. Get them a copy of our letter. Try to make them understand that freedom, once lost, is never regained. And so again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and encourage people to begin to explore, to look at what's happening, to realize that in the name of fighting terrorism, they are taking away our freedom. And if you think that when the war on terrorism is over, you're going to get your freedom back, you really don't understand what's going on. If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest you get it. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness, or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special by calling 1-800-5-HIV. War. Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-Based Education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Outcome-Based Education. And once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest this afternoon, Howard Phillips from the Constitution Party, chairman of the Conservative Caucus, and of course the number to call if you'd like to reach them, 703-281-4108. That's 703-281-4108. Right now we've got Ken calling in from Alabama. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing just great.
I have a question for your guest.
Right, go ahead.
Mr. Phillips, can you please give us a brief synopsis of the difference between the Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, fine. I think that's a very good question, and I always look forward to Howard's response to that. And incidentally, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, Howard, what's the difference between the Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party?
Stan, before I answer that, the number you gave out, 703-281-4108, is our fax number.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I just want to make that clear. If people want to contact the Constitution Party, the number is 1-800-2-VETO-IRS. Differences between libertarians and Constitution Party. Well, going back to premises, the Constitution Party believes what is said in the Declaration of Independence, that our rights are a gift from God, that we're endowed by our Creator. The Libertarian Party's premise is that our rights are a product of man's reason. That leads us to differences. The Constitution Party is a 100% pro-life party. The Libertarian Party takes a different view of that. Our view is that homosexual conduct is something to be discouraged, whereas the Libertarian Party favors a more permissive attitude toward homosexual conduct. With respect to drugs, we believe the federal government has a constitutional role at the borders with respect to drugs, but we think that much of what the federal government has done in the name of fighting drugs is unconstitutional. There we would agree with the libertarians, but at the same time, we would reserve to state and local jurisdictions the right to restrict access to drugs. We think that is a legitimate right of state and local government under the Constitution. In the area of national defense, I believe that our view is one of a strong national defense. We would spend more on defense than with the libertarians. We would also, in terms of foreign policy, recognize that the task of our foreign policy is to safeguard the just, proximate, vital interest of the United States. Now, we are non-interventionists, and in a sense, the libertarians are as well, but we would still favor defense policies which the libertarians might oppose. Ironically, the libertarians might find themselves comfortable with aspects of the Bush policy. President Bush is moving toward the unilateral disarmament of our strategic forces, and that entails a massive reduction in the B-1 bomber, the B-52, the MX missile, the Trident submarine, and a drawdown of our nuclear warheads from what was once 7,000 to a figure as low as 1,700 nuclear warheads. The libertarians would have a more of a free trade policy with a number of countries. We think that idea of most favored nation status for communist Vietnam and communist China and their membership in the World Trade Organization are bad for the United States. On constitutional grounds, we reject President Bush's stance in favor of supposed trade promotion authority, which relegates the Congress of the United States to the role of the Supreme Soviet, where all they can really do is say A or nay on trade agreements negotiated by the president. So they would characterize themselves as free traders. Many of them support the idea of a national sales tax. We prefer the original constitutional design of duties, excises, imposts, and apportionment among the states.
All right, and fine. And certainly, once we got to a situation like that, why the government wouldn't have the money to do all the harm they're doing. And, of course, what happens when the government
has
money?
That's right. We'd have a budget of about $500 billion a year instead of $2.2 trillion a year. And everything above $500 billion is unconstitutional. Most people haven't really read the Constitution and taken it at its word. It's a document of enumerated, delegated powers. And right up front in Article 1, Section 8, is very crucial, critical language, which says the Congress shall have power to, let me just get it correctly, to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, unquote. And all of those functions under the term general welfare and common defense are delineated in the balance of Article 1, Section 8. There's no provision for a Department of Health and Human Services, a Legal Services Corporation, a Department of Education, a Department of Housing and Urban Development. Most things the federal government now does are not only destructive and counterproductive, they're comprehensively unconstitutional.
And of course there, I think the libertarians would probably agree.
Yes, we do have areas of agreement. They are limited government people, and in many areas we would agree. And when Ron Paul ran for president on the libertarian ticket, because Ron was a pro-life libertarian, and not all of them are, I enthusiastically supported Ron Paul over George Bush, the senior, in 1988. And we have many libertarian friends, and on many issues we work together.
All right, fine. And so, but I think that the biggest thing is God. And really that is a dividing point, and really many times between philosophies. It is the worldview. You either believe that there is a supreme God out there to whom we owe worship and homage, or you don't. And most libertarians do not. Now that's, you'll occasionally find Christian libertarians.
Here, let me mention briefly one quick thing in the Declaration. It says, government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. And that is because the governed are God's creatures. And as God's creatures, each of us owes a duty of stewardship to our Creator. And to the degree that we delegate control over policy and money to civil government, we have a moral responsibility to hold it accountable to us, so that we can be accountable to him, to our Lord and Savior.
And that is so well said. And, of course, if people read the Declaration of Independence from that point on, you'll see the listing of all the complaints against the power of the government. And what they were concerned about back in 1776 are the things that are happening in America today, and yet the American people are taking this. You know, as long as we have affluence and Monday night football and, you know, and a good life, we've forgotten that these are the byproduct of freedom. And once our freedom is lost, then all of the benefits that we have will be lost like yesterday's sunset.
They are a gift from God, and if we forget our total dependence on him and our duty to him, the freedom will be lost.
Amen to that. Well, how are we doing? How can we begin to reach people across America with this message? Because this is the message that people, I think, an awful lot of people want to hear. And nobody, certainly we're not hearing this from our current leaders. Oh, they, you know, God bless America, you know, and we really believe in Christianity. Then we're going to get in and worship with the Muslims and you know, this
just... Incredible, isn't it? But I have a weekly... I think what you're doing on the radio is great. I think whenever we have a chance to be interviewed on a radio program or to have a program of our own, we should seize that opportunity. I have a weekly television show called Conservative Roundtable, which is shown on public access stations in 120 communities around the country. Some of your listeners may be interested in becoming a local sponsor of Conservative Roundtable. If so, they should contact the Conservative Caucus, 450 Maple Avenue East, Vienna, Virginia, 22180. In addition, the caucus has started a Constitution education program, and I'm speaking to campus editors, student leaders. I spoke at a conference of some 200 young people this last week. I spoke to 100 campus editors the week before. C-SPAN broadcasted. Some of your listeners may have seen it. And basically, our goal is to raise up a new generation of leaders who not only understand the Constitution and its continuing relevance to contemporary issues, but who will have the character to fear God and not man. And we need support for our Constitution education program. We're very excited about it. I think that in every congressional district, my hope is that there will be at least one church that will monitor the performance of the incumbent congressman and hold the congressman accountable to the Constitution and to the wishes of the active laity inside that church. And this is something I'm trying to encourage through my good friend Chuck Baldwin, who's a pastor in Pensacola, Florida, as well as through others. So there's a great deal we can do. The House of Representatives, the member of Congress, is the basic unit of the federal republic, and we need to influence Washington by influencing our local congressmen.
I agree with you totally. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us, Howard, and I hope you'll come back again and we can get you on maybe once a month.
Dr. Stan, whenever you want me, I'm there. I'm just grateful for what you do and for your friendship and for your voice.
God bless you. Thanks so much,
thank
Howard.
You,
okay, fine. Well, I hope our listeners out there have enjoyed our interview with Howard Phillips. He's really one of the great conservative leaders today, a man who stands on principle and has never compromised what he believes in. So this has been Howard Phillips, the chairman of the Constitution Party, and certainly the the presidential candidate of the Constitution Party. Well, this is the time, of course, when we remind our listeners that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And, of course, we ask you to pray for our leaders because, well, whether you like them or not, why God tells you to pray for your leaders. We ask you to pray for your ministers because they should be leading this truly spiritual battle and try to get them educated to understand what is really taking place. And really, if you get them books on the Christian history of America, most of them have no idea because they were dumbed down in their seminary and they infiltrated our Christian seminaries a long time ago because they knew if they could destroy the effectiveness of the church, why it would be a very easy matter to destroy this nation and bring it into the New World Order. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for revival because if our people don't turn back to God, God is certainly going to turn his back on America forever. And lastly, we ask you to remember my ministry, Radio Liberty, to pray for me and my staff and my family for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.